Sunday morning worship for October 2nd, the 17th Sunday after Pentecost. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I hope for your salvation, O Lord, and I do your commandments. I rejoice at your word, like one who finds great spoil. Seven times a day I praise you for your just and righteous decrees. Great peace have those who love your law. Nothing can make them stumble. My soul keeps your testimonies. I love them exceedingly. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. I hope for your salvation, O Lord, and I do your commandments. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. We pray. O God, our refuge and strength, the author of all godliness, by your grace hear the prayers of your church. Grant that those things which we ask in faith we may receive through your bountiful mercy. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Old Testament reading for the 17th Sunday after Pentecost comes from the first and second chapters of the book of Habakkuk. O Lord, how long shall I cry for help, and you will not hear, or cry to you violence, and you will not save? Why do you make me see iniquity, and why do you idly look at wrong? Destruction and violence are before me, strife and contention arise. So the law is paralyzed, and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous, so justice goes forth perverted. I will take my stand at my watchpost, and station myself on the tower, and look out to see what he will say to me, and what I will answer concerning my complaint. And the Lord answered me, write the vision, make it plain on tablets, so he may run who reads it. For still the vision awaits its appointed time. It hastens to the end. It will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. Behold, his soul is puffed up. It is not upright within him. But the righteous shall live by his faith. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The epistle reading is from the first chapter of St. Paul's second letter to Timothy. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, according to the promise of the life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve, as did my ancestors, with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers night and day. As I remember your tears, I long to see you, that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now, I am sure, dwells in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave me a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, and which now has been manifested through the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, for which I was appointed a preacher and apostle and teacher, which is why I suffer as I do. But I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard until that day what has been entrusted to me. Follow the pattern of the sound words that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. By the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The gospel reading is from the 17th chapter of the Gospel according to St. Luke. And Jesus said to his disciples, temptations to sin are sure to come, but woe to the one through whom they come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were cast into the sea, than that he should cause one of these little ones to sin. Pay attention to yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in the day, turns to you seven times, saying, I repent, you must forgive him. The apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if you had faith like a grain of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Will any one of you who has a servant plowing or keeping sheep say to him when he has come in from the field, come at once and recline at table? Will he not rather say to him, prepare supper for me, and dress properly, and serve me while I eat and drink, and afterwards you may eat and drink? Does he thank the servant because he did what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were commanded, say, we are unworthy servants. We have only done what was our duty. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Today's gospel may seem somewhat disjointed. That is, you might have a hard time seeing the connection between what Jesus says at the beginning, in the middle, and in the end. First, he talks about being careful not to be the source of temptation for one of these little ones. Or so he says. That phrase might lead you to picture selling drugs to school children or something worse. Then there is a discussion of forgiveness and the importance of forgiving even 7 times a day. Then the apostle asks for more faith, and Jesus tells them that even faith the size of a mustard seed is enough to move a tree into the sea. But then at the end there is a discussion of servants doing their duty for their master, and you might wonder what the connection could possibly be between all these things. Perhaps there's no connection at all. But of course there is. Once you see it, the connection becomes obvious between temptation to sin and forgiveness and faith and duty. In fact, the connection is not meant to be hidden. Jesus is not playing a trick on us. But if we have a hard time with this reading, the problem might be ours. Perhaps the way we think about being a Christian has made it hard for us to hear what Jesus is saying. And so today's gospel is an opportunity to relearn what being a Christian means. Jesus tells the disciples that they need to forgive anyone who sins against them if they repent, even if they do it 7 times in 1 day. To this, the apostles say, increase our faith. And I think most of you know what they're talking about. Forgiveness is hard. At least real forgiveness is hard. Saying the words, I forgive you, is easy. Telling yourself that you are a forgiving person is easy. But those things aren't necessarily real forgiveness. The problem is moving from general theory to actual forgiveness. Real forgiveness involves real sin. It means really getting hurt, our real hurt. Some people say, forgive, but don't forget. And I'm not sure, though, that that's forgiveness. I don't think that that's forgiveness at all. Forgiveness means forgetting that hurt and putting aside those hurt feelings. Perhaps, though, we think forgiveness is easy because we don't know what forgiveness really is. But the apostles are not confused. They know what Jesus is asking when he tells them to forgive, and they do not like it. They ask for more faith because it seems impossible to them, because the apostles know something that we do not. Most people today think of sin as a personal issue, and they think of good works and forgiveness the same way. We think of sin as a personal failing, a mistake we wish that we had not made. In the same way, doing good things is a way to improve ourselves, and forgiveness is something we decide to do, a personal decision. And it's all about personal choices and personal behavior, or so people seem to think. It's all about self-improvement, about living a better life, about feeling better about yourself. This is the way the world thinks, and this is also the way many Christians have started to think as well. But this is not what Jesus teaches. Sin is not merely a personal mistake, and good works are not merely personal achievements. But sins are done to someone. When we sin, we hurt someone, and the good we do is done for someone. Sins, good works, and forgiveness are not about individual choices, but these things are about relationships and repairing relationships. Forgiveness is not just a change in attitude or a word that you say. It is a restoration of the relationship with the person that you have hurt. By your sin, you have damaged the relationship. by forgiveness and repentance, you aim to heal it. But of course, this is what makes it so hard. Think of your family, your friends, your spouse, the people you work with, the people you live with. How many of those relationships are strained right now? How many people do you know who used to be your friends who are no longer your friends? How many brothers, sisters, parents, and children are you angry with right now? How many do you no longer talk to? Why are these relationships broken? They are broken because of sin. Whether it's your sin or their sin, it's still sin that has killed your relationship. Sins, particularly, that have never been forgiven. Sins that have never been repented of. Perhaps you've said the words, "I forgive you," or perhaps you've said, "I'm sorry," but your relationship is still not the way it used to be. It is this way because of sin and lack of repentance and lack of forgiveness. This lack of forgiveness is killing our families and our friendships, and it is also killing our churches, our congregations, as well as our denomination, and even the universal church on earth. We have sinned against each other, and that breaks apart these relationships that we ought to have. Anger and frustration have replaced love and trust, and relationships that once existed have come to an end. Real forgiveness means overcoming these divisions that have been caused by our sin. We might be foolish or foolish enough to fool ourselves into thinking that forgiveness is something else, that it's about a change in our personal attitude or about saying particular words. But real forgiveness means real restoration of these broken relationships. This is why the apostles ask for more faith, because it is so hard. When Jesus demands forgiveness, the apostles know that what he's asking for is almost impossible. And I think you know this too when you think about the relationships that are hurt in your life. For individuals, at least, this is impossible. I said before, though, that there's a common theme holding today's gospel together. That theme is the church. Today, Jesus is talking about the church and how it holds together and what the church is really about. This is something that a lot of us are confused about. If you do think of Christianity as just your personal business, then you will also have the wrong idea about church and also the wrong idea about forgiveness, I suppose. If we're all just individual Christians, then church is just a place where you decide to go, or choose not to go, as you see fit. The church becomes just a place where individual Christians show up at the same time, like a mall on a Saturday afternoon. We're all here perhaps for the same reason, but we are still strangers, and we're still mostly concerned with ourselves and what we are doing. But however, the church, instead of being just a collection of individual Christians, the church is really about these relationships that we as Christians share with each other. We are part of the church not for ourselves, but for each other. This is what Jesus is trying to teach us. The temptations to sin, which he speaks about, are what cause other people to leave the church. Either when we drive them out or when we entice them to follow us when we leave. Truly, it would be better for you to go to hell on your own with a millstone around your neck than that you would take someone else to hell with you. And yet we do these things. We offend each other. We hold on to old hurts and harbor grudges. We say we forgive, but we don't really forgive. And the proof of this is that our relationships are still broken. If the church is about forgiveness, what hope do we have? Because we're not very forgiving people. Perhaps we should all jump in the sea and be done with it. Or so the apostles are thinking, and I think if we're honest and if we had any sense, we might think the same thing too. However, if we only had faith the size of a mustard seed, then we could do it. This faith the size of a mustard seed, what is this? I think it's merely the realization of what the church is for. to merely see things for what they are. If only we could remember what the church is really about. If we have a hard time forgiving, it's because we've forgotten what our business is supposed to be. We've forgotten the business of the church, and that business is forgiveness. It's forgiveness because this is God's business, and that's what makes it our business. The servant must do his master's business. If your boss is running a McDonald's, then your business is burgers and fries, not selling cars. If your boss is a farmer, your business is farming, not building houses or selling real estate. If you are working for the master, then you do what he does, not what you might choose to do, but what he tells you to do. You engage in the business that is his business. The faith the size of a mustard seed is merely the realization of what business your master is in. And that business, again, is forgiveness and restoring relationships that were once broken. This is what God does. This is what he is currently doing. This is what Jesus and the Spirit are doing. And if this is what they are doing, then this also is what you must be doing, if they really are your master. It is a tough business, no doubt about it. Forgiveness is still not easy. And if you would prefer to be doing something else besides forgiving, if you think the church is about something else, then perhaps you don't really belong to the church. Maybe God really isn't your master, and maybe you don't belong here. However, if you find real forgiveness and real reconciliation difficult, maybe you should consider what your master has already done. What God has done is forgive you. And he has not merely said that he's forgiven you, but still bears a grudge. He hasn't merely paid lip service to forgiveness, but then let his relationship to us remain broken. But he has forgiven you, and he has restored you to once again be his sons and daughters. And even as you continue to sin against him, he has given you forgiveness over and over again. He has forgiven you many more times than just 7 times in a day. And he will go on forgiving you because your relationship with him is restored. You have received real forgiveness from God, a forgiveness that cost the life of his son. This is the business that our master is in, the business of forgiveness. And so that makes it our business too. If we follow him, then we are merely unworthy servants. In Jesus' name, amen. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We pray. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, receive our thanks that you preserve your word in this world of uncertainty, confusion, and lies. Grant us to love your law and rejoice in your promises continually, that we may live in your peace. Remind us again of your forgiveness, so that we might share that forgiveness with the world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, Timothy learned of Christ from his faithful grandmother Lois and his faithful mother Eunice. Bless all faithful parents and grandparents, that they might bear witness to Christ to their children. And following the example of Lois and Eunice, please strengthen and bless all women in our church, that they too may be faithful examples of the faith to the people in their families. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of all grace, remember those who suffer from violence, strife, illness, or affliction. Grant your blessing on those we name today, to Ernie, Nina, John, Mary, Joe, Nick, Art, Monica, Don, Joey, Gordon, Tom, Cindy, Donna, Elizabeth, James, and also Shirley Rothman, Ellen Mueller, Harry Spence, Betty Spence, Mike Yates, Larry Nelson, Bob Belladonis, Kristen Sykes, Courtney Cooker, Elizabeth, Terry Sheldon, and Shirley Fabozzi. Heal and deliver them according to your will, and when your answers seem slow, strengthen them by Christ's righteousness to await your timing and live by faith. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Receive our thanks for the calling you have given us. Grant that we might rejoice to labor in service to you until you gather us to your banquet table in heaven. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Grant, we beg you, Almighty God, unto your church, your Holy Spirit, and the wisdom which comes down from above, that your word as becomes it may not be bound, but have free course and be preached to the joy and edifying of Christ's holy people, that in steadfast faith we may serve you, and in the confession of your name abide unto the end. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen.